Amen. Thankful for the reality of that song. I have to be honest, if you can't tell, my nerves are playing. And if most of you see me, there's a lot of familiar faces. Brother Ziegler, I found it quite a privilege when he reached out and he said, a little country church. Now, this is not little. But what a beautiful opportunity. And some people have dreams, and this is one of mine. And the most important is to share and pray with someone this morning. I know that the Lord called me to ministry and to preach and to give opportunity. One of my favorite things to do is talk about Him and share in the opportunity of kingdom building. And hopefully this morning, as I've watched the direction of the service, it's given me confidence that what He's placed on my heart this morning is for us. And so I'm going to encourage you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, I could start trying to name a lot of faces, but a lot of you, I know from youth camp, a place that's greatly impacted me, but you also said Athens. I also got to travel with Hope Sound, and I do the same thing, get nervous at the craziest points when I'd sing. Got to travel all over the United States, and I get nervous at the craziest times, but I'm glad for the message of the truth in the songs. Jesus saves, His blood still sings this morning. Last verse, share that song, goes about the angels. What I like to envision is this morning we have an opportunity to join with the angels in heaven and get to join with them who are singing praises to our Father. And really, if you understand the spiritual realm, it's all around us. He's all around us. And so we get to join in an earthly sense. And so this morning, hopefully this also going to share with you on the focus of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sins. Hebrews chapter 9 is where we're going to start. We'll read the whole chapter and focus out of verses 11 through 14. We're going to start in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 9. Have you stand if you don't mind. Change it up for a moment, and then I'll let you sit back down in a minute. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinance of divine service in a worldly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded in the table of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the first time, then present, and in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience. 10, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. I'm going to take my focus at 11 through 14. Verse 11, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Catch that. For us. 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then he must often have suffered since the foundations of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. 2 more verses. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time with sin unto salvation. I'm asked if Mr. Whitaker would pray. Blessing. Amen. You may be seated. I love the beautiful setting of this church. I'm going to step on the sidelines, get my nerves in order. Here we are. I was in Salisbury, North Carolina, which is about 30 minutes from where Mr. Whitaker was, and driving down the road Friday and heading this way, and had Buc-ee's on my mind. And many of you have been to Buc-ee's. I've been to a bunch of them. And I didn't worry about my gas gauge, and happened to find myself on the side of the highway Friday after about traveling 6 or 7 hours, and we had about 3 more to go. And so we're walking along, and I'm walking along. But it wasn't long, and I said, "All right, Lord." And here a white truck pulled over. And I was kind of jogging because it was the beginning of the walk. It was like 3.5 miles to the exit. But I had called a tow truck, and they wanted to charge $125. It's a good business to get into, just to bring me 5 gallons. And they were off of that exit. I found them right there, and just literally a quick dollar. And so we started. I walked, and this lady pulled over, and she said, "Get in." And so there was a Walmart. She dropped me off. She said, "I'm going like 15 minutes. She said, "It's a long walk back." She said, "I'm picking up a trailer, and I'm coming back the same way." Well, I know I've owned trailers. I have a few myself and had business. And just because you think you're going to pick up a trailer doesn't mean you're just going to pick up a trailer and come back. There's usually a flat tire, or there's this, or there's that, or whatever. So I didn't count on it. But the lady, she's middle-aged, and she got my number. And so she wanted to call when she got close. I was like, "Wow, Lord, thank you." This is really hard to get anybody to ever stop on the side of the road. How many of us are comfortable with stopping on the side of the road? Well, I get gas, start walking. And by the time she was where she could have picked me up, I was about a mile from the car. You know, I thought it was in the afternoon. It was really hot earlier that day, and this beautiful few people honked and scared me out of my life. But I made it there alive. And I was driving yesterday and almost ran out of gas. I've never run out of gas until these last 2 days. And thankfully, the tank was full before I came today, so no problems. But I was thinking of life, and we take so much for granted. We think that our circumstances are worse than anybody else has went through, and yet we need to be reminded about what we're given, what we have, and being able to walk. By the end of 4 miles in Crocs, of which I ran in a little bit, my toes were trying to blister, and my leg was getting a little tired because I had that week I played plumber. I was on top of the roof. I still got some signs. I was painting the fascia and laying on the roof before it got too hot. And we were doing some remodeling and major stuff and saving a bunch of money because a plumber wants a bunch of money. Any of you here at plumbers, make sure you tithe. It's crazy. But I was already sore because I was under the house a whole day. And you don't need to hear much more than that. But we take things for granted so often. And something like this we sing about, and I thought it was really neat that our song leader led us in songs that, if you've noted in every one of them, and I did on purpose, they regarded the blood and the power that the blood has in your life and my life. As a claimed believer, I am a claimed believer, and I believe that the majority of you are. And if not, you have an opportunity, even this morning, to become one. The blood of Jesus Christ means so much. If you study some of the modern world that we're living in, and some of the modern push is to pull out words like the blood. In some of the songs, you don't hear much about it, and you find that yet, then if you look into the news and all these things, there's emphasis of blood, an emphasis which surround an evil. There's a reason that the enemy also attacks and tries to use this word. But if not careful, we sing songs. We know what the blood of Jesus Christ represents. We read in chapter 9, a wide picture that actually most of you in this building understand as what the blood represented and the sacrifice and then what Jesus did for our sins. We sing the song, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Another song shares, "Christ, our Redeemer, died on a tree, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you." That song represents the Passover. Another song that we sing, "The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power." We read a share that we're going to focus in Hebrews 9, verse 11 through 14. There's much more in this passage, but those specifically, "But Christ becoming or being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, which cannot be made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, while this building," which I was noting the first time I've been here, and a beautiful place, beautiful drive. It's about an hour and a half from Corden, where I'm staying and where I grew up. And the beautiful building, which is made of hands. I was back there noting a building plan. And I think maybe you're breaking ground very soon, which is exciting. And those can be big projects and big headaches for some. But it's still a beautiful opportunity. However, this shares, we cannot make this building or tabernacle. We can try and bring great respect to the place, but Christ is so much greater, more perfect. 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. There's some here that are farmers. I know that. And some of you, I don't know enough. There might be a butcher here, or homemade butcher, where you take care of your own animals. But most of us sitting in this building barely understand the side of cutting an animal open and draining the blood. We, as a family, I'm the youngest of five, and four boys, one girl. We liked deer, and I know there's a few deer hunters here. And we loved eating the meat. And my mom's a good enough cook, you barely could tell the difference. And there's something about that. But it's foreign to us, thinking even of blood. And coming to an altar, we see this beautiful altar. But they built an altar. And they came and they would cut one of their greatest. And yet the Hebrew author is sharing that this blood, this cannot even be compared. And once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. 13, for if by the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, will sanctify the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. There's power in the blood of Jesus. We already shared that. We're going to emphasize that and hopefully get that across. When we speak of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can know that the enemy trembles. There's a song that I love that says, I claim the blood. When we claim the blood, the enemy trembles, for he knows the power that's resembled upon this precious blood. As I thought about where we begin hearing the blood we share in this passage read, it was often a sign of either death, payment, sacrifice, and for many years, the only way that we could purchase our forgiveness or salvation, if you will, or rights to feel right before God, was to bring the best we could offer and have an individual go back and sacrifice on our behalf. Aren't you grateful that we have access through Jesus this morning to be able to go before him? And sometimes then we return that. Why don't we do it more often? We find, though, at the beginning, they would offer a place in this perfect lamb before the priest as a payment and signage of their remorse or the reminder to be free from their sins. Some religions currently, some claimed Christians currently think that they can pay for their sins, while we know that our actions and our obedience are vital in making the power and the works of God work in our lives, but there's nothing alone that we can do. Hopefully I didn't confuse you in that, but we vitally have a part in this relationship. We must offer ourselves and obey, allowing his blood to do the power and work of cleansing. Another powerful remembrance was a Passover experience, which also aligned with simple obedience. Those Israelites must kill an animal and place blood. And it's amazing that up to date, we still have it happening as a remembrance that God delivered the Israelites in the Passover time and the focus of what he did. But God works best with simple obedience. His blood is most powerful when we submit and we follow his command. In our own lives, blood represents the ability to live. Our lives, if we didn't have blood in us, we wouldn't function. It's amazing to me, my brother had to get one of those deals that go through your leg, or you can get them through your mouth, or you can get through, and it doesn't take but like 4 minutes if they don't plug that very uncomfortable plug in your leg and your artery after they have went in and checked out to make sure everything's okay. We have a blood condition in our family, and there's an issue there. We're all broken, and we're all made. Where I'm getting to is it won't be long if all of his blood flows out. Within 4 minutes, he's dead. And so we find a side of life in the blood, which represents as well the same as without the blood of Jesus Christ, we cannot have true salvation in life. If we find blood, often it's represented outside of life and death, and the enemy also likes to use that. We find the enemy and his identity, the blood is death. His one desire is to have you in the midst of his own filth, flesh, death, and even holding responsibility of the blood on a spiritual sense of others upon your own hands, taking away at the power of his adversary. We find today, you will find some of these major people, if you even waste your time watching or showing or reading the news, whatever you use, resource to news, and I just don't even waste my time anymore because most of it's trash. But you'll wonder and sometimes scratch your head and say, what does this have to do with this? If you begin to tap into it, there's some deeper meaning. And the enemy is trying to compare and always give an artificial and work through there and take away from the power and blood of Jesus Christ. For several thousand years, the only form of payment for man's sin was through that of a spotless, perfect lamb, beginning sacrificing before the Lord, and the blood of the lamb purged the sins of many. It is now through the blood of Jesus Christ that you and I have access to the throne room of heaven. We have access, and as we read this morning, Jesus went up to his Father, into the Holy of Holies, and he's standing on the right side of the Father, being the mediator, another passage in Hebrews, becoming the mediator for you and I, no longer allowing a priest or individual to maybe even complicate the beauty of what God's powerful plan is. It is through the blood of Jesus our sins can be forgiven and never brought up again. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a song that I'd love to hear and love to sing, but it's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not who I used to be. And one of the verses it shares that the enemy says, you are deserving. You don't belong here. We know where you've been. You know who you've been. And yet it's only through the blood of Jesus that you and I's sin can be forgiven. It is now through the blood of Jesus, the whole religious process simplified. Aren't you thankful when complicated things come down to a simple working process? Some of you are engineers or have been in a process or a business or a place for quite a while. And if not careful, if you get too many people in a group, it's not long and the situation gets way more complicated. Instead of, look, keep it simple and we'll leave the rest. Keep it simple. Jesus came to make this process of having a relationship, that's what the blood's about, redemption, a relationship. He came to make the process simple. He was misunderstood by some of the most religious. He was misunderstood by some of those right next to him. He was betrayed by his own and rejected. And he was challenged, and yet he was the most powerful. But through him and through the blood of Jesus Christ, he simplified the religious process into a much more accessible relationship, individual working relationship on our own salvation, as we read from Paul, work out your own salvation with fear
and trembling, which is not carelessness, is by realizing that you have your blood on your hands, but not just yours. If you've got children or loved ones or anybody you influence, at some point there begins that you've got their blood as well on your hands. There's a vital importance to realize that we have the access, but it's nothing to just sing about or know about or hear about and go on about our business. The Sunday school was talking about a doomed nation, if I just put in my own words. A nation that's lost some of its morale and lost a number of things. And if not careful, it's easy to go back on with life. A Sunday school teacher was sharing, 4 more years and we'll be asking for mercy again. Lord, give us mercy. But if you know, there's some things going on right now close to our families, and we say, where are they at? What's going on? However, here's a few points if you're a point person. First, the blood represents that Jesus paid a price. Another song, I'm stuck on songs, I love music. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. But now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. You know that song? Think we could sing it? He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. But now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. I'm glad for the blood and what it represents. It represents that he paid and he made a purchase that could never be compared to. You and I can make up a very good organization, a very good church, a very good family, a very good plan, a very good, and if not careful, because we're fallible, we're human, it's not long until one thing goes wrong, and that good is pretty much useless. We could do all good things, and Jesus said, but you can come to me, and at the end you can say, Lord, Lord, and he says, depart from me, for I know you not. It goes back. It goes back to the reality that Jesus said, unless you accept my blood as cleansing power and cleansing in your own life and allow me to do the whole work, I cannot be Lord at all. Jesus made a purchase that cannot even be compared to. He bought the sins of all. I said many, but of all, whosoever will, that he could not ever be paid. And what's wild about this whole process, from the youngest to the oldest in this building, he wants you. That's all he wants. He says, give me of your service. And the reality is, the sooner we can understand this, we're slave to something. We're either slave to self, which is not ourselves, slave to sin, which is just outward, all known, just you're caught into some kind of random thing, or, I like to say, servant to the Lord. Jesus says, I've come to pay the price that you cannot, but now all I want is you, and my blood is all that's needed. Unlike the enemy of our soul who is out to kill, to steal, and destroy, Jesus wants his blood to purchase you as his own and then make you into a vessel that he can use for kingdom building. But in the day we live, if we use key words, then everybody tunes you out. But God wants to use you. That's okay. God wants you. He wants you to be a servant. He wants you to submit. He wants you to come under him and his plan. But if you understand that that's the best place
you can ever be. He says, I'll do everything else. Many I'm speaking to have found that true. I'm finding it on a day-to-day basis, proving himself over and over. The enemy throws in lies, and all his lies are is, look, that's not sufficient. That's not good enough. But let me remind you, Jesus' blood can pay a price that's incomparable. And when you get to the place, you realize it's the most important thing. You've won. You've understood one of the most important places. Hopefully I'm making sense. As well as a companion, Jesus wants his blood to purchase you as his own, making you into a vessel for his own kingdom building, as well as a companion of whom he can commune with. For Jesus is a friend of sinners. He went to the lost and the dying, to the hopeless, and he offered transforming power. He offered water. He offered forgiveness. He offered new identity. He offered, and it was all through his blood. Him alone. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. When I think of this precious blood, I think of the price that Jesus paid. First point, going to get moving. The second, the blood represents the power of Jesus. His blood holds no limits. As I said, we can build up an organization or think we're building up a beautiful family or think we're winning here or think we're gaining here. We're succeeding. We're about to build a building. Whatever it is, and think we've got it all planned out, and it's not long if not careful. As soon as pride steps in, what comes after? There's a lot of Proverbs to touch there. The human person, where I'm getting, is we have limits. We'll find that we thought we had it all figured out, all planned out, all raised, all the money for it. And yet you get to the end and you say, whoa. Where'd this come from? Where'd that come from? You know, God, through his Son, through his blood, Jesus' blood, he has no limits. There's nothing that could be done that's too much for him. There's no boundary. There's no end. As someone was sharing, they've found a new telescope recently. And some of you probably could tell me a whole lot more about it. But what they're finding out in space just through that is more and more. But then when you understand how if you were to try to travel out there, it just never ends. It helps you understand. But it helps you understand God and who he is. There's something greater than we are. There's someone. There's so much more. Just as anything connected to the Creator, there's no end, no boundary, no limits. The blood represents power. It will always be sufficient enough to cleanse the sin of mankind. Amen. Who confess? If we come to him and confess and bring our needs before his throne, he has all that's needed to cleanse you of your sin. Some of us would love, and I would love, to be able to repent on behalf of some others. This morning was noted Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, who wept for the sake of his nation. Most of the prophets wept because they were sinful and they were hopeless and there was very little hope. And yet God was speaking, he'd say, here, watch this. I still have a plan. It's one of the most beautiful things is the same God as today as he was way back then. Now, I think as a young person, as an optimist myself, that there's a lot of hope in the future. When I think of the blood, I think of the power that Jesus showed every day. He shows it currently by you and I being able to be claimed believers in Jesus Christ. If it were not for his blood, where would we be? Where would we be if we had to believe the accuser's lies? Where would we be if we had to believe some of the things we tell ourselves? But thank God for what his word and what God's word and what Jesus himself offered And then third, the blood represents a penalty Jesus removed. When he died on the cross, he became the one and last perfect lamb. His death, his pain, his blood, he gave it for all mankind. He came as a representation for penalty, of which he did not deserve, and yet he paid it. He didn't even defend himself. He went through it. He was in agony in every bit of his human body. He sweat blood drops of sweat. Sweat drops of blood. He sweat. It dripped. He was in great agony. We're grateful for what he did. He gave the opportunity for all mankind. Most of us could quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." But this key, whosoever believes, there's something in this journey, in this relationship. And in relationships, you know, there's two parts to a relationship. And if one doesn't want it, there's nothing the other one could do. They could climb to Eiffel Tower and still not be good enough. We know on the one side of this relationship, Jesus says, if you believe, which key word, faith, if you'll believe that my blood has the power to cleanse your sin, my blood has the power to free you from those chains that you're enslaved by. He has the power, his blood has the power to remove the penalty. When I think of the blood, I think of the penalty that Jesus removed for my name. Fourth, the blood of Jesus represents purification. While on earth, blood stains. If I would get a drip of blood, I get a nosebleed every once in a while. And if it would drip here, it's very likely I don't see hope in this white shirt. They got some pretty good chemicals now that you can, and if you go and get it under cold water right away, but it would probably be the hardest time at this point. We just had to dismiss. But blood is a stain. If you get blood, they even had to put some pretty toxic or serious chemicals if there's a horrible accident and a body has been presented. They place stuff to cover it up, and you'll drive by and sometimes you wonder, what's the story here? As you see a big old mark in the road. But in this sense, when the blood is applied, Jesus has become the representation where Almighty looks down and says, I see white. I smell my own. And they are now redeemed. The blood takes on a whole different sense from God's holy throne. We find the application of Jesus' blood upon mankind gives the view, the mark, and the cleansing that both God and the devil's bandwagon have clear understanding about. The enemy, if you understand nature, blood is a way that you raise dogs and you can train them to sniff blood and they can track down something. There's other ways. God applies the blood on our lives and he says, old Satan, no longer are they my children. They're mine. And you have no business to them. And what's beautiful as children of his, when we've had that applied, we no longer have to live in fear and turmoil. But honestly, we should begin to get a passion and say, look, I have something free that I can offer to others, which is Jesus Christ and his blood. When I think of his blood, I think of the penalty that was removed from me. I think of what he's seen, the perception that Jesus seen on behalf of me, or represented, the Lord looks upon our souls, and when the blood of his Son is applied upon our souls, he identifies us as his own. He identifies us as redeemed, as purchased, as clean. Lastly, the blood represents righteousness. It's somewhat worked together. All the way worked together. May repeat a little bit of each other. we must not give our enemy much attention at all, but I want to make sure that I represent that all and any blood that the enemy uses is represented to pain, to evil, to death, and lack of hope, true hopelessness. You even find some of those who do that thing, they're trying to feel pain or get attention, but we're not running them under to say get attention. They're trying to feel pain. And so they know they're bleeding. Usually that's a physical pain. The enemy uses blood as something that represents, ha ha ha, look what I did to them. Look, I won death. Look, I've got it. We see war and it's not God's design, but yet God, because of the nature of sin, sometimes he said, kill and wipe them out. The enemy wants to use blood as something of his warrior-like token, and it's only to get through you to Almighty God. When Jesus Christ's blood is placed upon our lives, which comes through confession of our own sin, which is our known and unknown, when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are now made righteous, not in of our own power, not because we're better than others, not because we're anything specific, but because we confess and we believed and we allowed him to do his work and we did ours. That's a working relationship. When you do your work and they do theirs. He offers more than enough, and he's the best lover. He's the best companion. And he says, let me take care of everything you cannot. We are presented before our Heavenly Father, especially in the end when we cross, and Jesus says, my blood is applied. Only through grace and mercy, though. Grace being something we don't deserve, mercy being something we are, something unmerited favor. Grace being something we don't deserve. Mercy is not being given what we do deserve. We are now brought to the Heavenly Father as one who can think of this, hiding in him, but hiding from him and hiding in him with your testimony. We've been made righteous. Isaiah said, woe is me. I'm unclean. Only through his blood we can be presented righteous, clean, holy, and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And if I would wrap this up, hopefully you've caught some things and truths and power. There's a powerful message, importance. First, you cannot make it to heaven without the blood of Jesus applied upon your life, holy. You cannot make it to heaven any other way but through the blood of Jesus Christ, which comes through confession of your own sin and belief that he is able to forgive. Second, never forget. I'm going to repeat that. Never forget what it took to purchase you from your sinful past and life. Some of us forget. The longer we're around, some of the younger ones, we forget quick what he's kept us from, what we could have been in, and what we've been spared from. But also then some who've got a big story and a real story of what it took to purchase you from your awful, awful past. Third, don't leave this place hopeless. If you need the blood of Jesus Christ, there's no greater joy and success in the ministry than to see you make it right with him. As if you don't know Jesus this morning, I encourage you and beg you, ask you that you'd make it right with him, whether it's at an altar or whether it's in a place. make sure someone else knows about it as well. If you need the blood of Jesus Christ applied upon your own soul, there's no limit. There's no boundaries to the blood and power of Jesus. Last and fourth, the precious blood of Jesus Christ represents new life, full cleansing, realigned purpose, and so much more. If I'd wrap it up, I'm grateful for what it took in my own life for His blood to cleanse me, to keep me. Number of you that I look, we've been privileged to be in a Christian home. I'm thankful for what blood has been applied to keep me where I'm at and keep me from a lot of the trash that I could have been in. I'm thankful for His blood that now says, servant, I'm just going to enable you to do my kingdom building. Versus slave to sin and self, you're running in a direction that's just a big lie. A big lie, and nobody might be able to tell you. Jesus says this morning, let my blood that has all the power needed, all the keeping power, all the cleansing. It's a big addiction, a big secret, a little secret. Whatever it is, let my blood be applied on your life today. May we stand. Give an offer if you don't know that the blood of Jesus Christ is applied on your life. I'd happily invite you, but not wait long. If anybody would want to pray, there's no greater privilege. And I know that everybody around you that loves you would love to pray with you. It's one of the most important things, is that your blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, is applied on your life. And if you have it, may this be an encouragement and an empowerment. We live in a day where there's a lot of people trying to discourage a beautiful group like this. And a holiness group, I'm saying. A conservative group. Thank God for you. Thank God. And we have one of the best messages you ever find. And it starts with the blood of Jesus Christ applying for your sin and doing the heart work. Dear Lord, thank you for this wonderful crowd, this opportunity. Most important for the blood that's represented here on at least roughly 100 heads, young and old. Lord, you forgave us of our sin. We no longer have to live in an identity to sinful and sinning and lost and hopeless. But we have a hope which is bound and held in Jesus Christ. And it's through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You're dismissed.